This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to grow your own, can your own for victory. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Thursday, June 21st, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news, and we're going to take your phone calls and play Stump the Listener.
We haven't played that game in years.
Well, that's because last time we played it, you rigged it so you could get part of the prize.
Rigged is such an ugly word.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Stax, with children's knit rompers on sale for just $1.19. Open Thursday evenings in Superior. Take it away, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The long, hard battle for Okinawa is over. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report from the Pacific.
This is the Pacific. Daryl Berrigan reporting from Okinawa. The end of the Okinawa campaign and 82 days of savage fighting was announced today by Admiral Chester Nimitz. Victory gives the Americans a base just 325 miles from Japan. The costliest of all Central and Western Pacific campaigns, the Battle of Okinawa took more than 35,000 American casualties, killed or wounded, as of a month ago. By comparison, more than 90,000 Japanese soldiers died in this fight. While the big guns of the fleet and artillery battalions fell silent, U.S. 10th Army forces still hammered with tanks and flamethrowers at two small pockets of Japanese on the southern tip of Okinawa today. Though this handful has refused to give up, Admiral Nimitz declared the end of all organized resistance. His announcement was made shortly after General Douglas MacArthur reported from Manila that General Joseph Stilwell will take over the 10th Army. Stilwell replaces General Simon Bolivar, who was killed 3 days earlier by a shell burst while watching the final decisive assault. The largest Jap island taken by Admiral Nimitz in the war, Okinawa, was invaded on April 1st, Easter Sunday, with two objectives in mind. First, to tighten the blockade around Japan. Second, to provide airfields for large-scale bombing to hammer the Nipponese Empire into surrendering. Okinawa was mocked by Japanese kamikaze planes against American supply ships, sinking 24 and damaging another 54. The enemy lost more than 4,000 planes and in the end did not stop the supply to Marines fighting on Okinawa. Radio Tokyo acknowledged that only a handful of valiant Japanese soldiers fought on, in an example of what allies can expect in an invasion of homeland Japan. At Okinawa, this is Daryl Berrigan, calling Europe, come in Norway.
This is Oslo, Nolan Norgard calling. The former Norwegian leader and Nazi puppet Vidkun Quisling has been forced by his armed guards to view the mass graves at Trondheim, where Norwegian political dissidents were imprisoned during his regime. He was taken secretly from his cell in Murigaten prison and driven by police car to the scene of the Nazi atrocities. Quisling insisted he did not know, clenching his jaw and pulling his hat down as he watched a crew of gravediggers exhume bodies of more than 100 Norwegians slain by the Gestapo. Once, Quisling tried to turn away, but a guard prodded him with a Tommy gun and made him turn back to the scene. In Oslo, this is Nolan Norgard.
A high official with General Eisenhower's intelligence staff says that Adolf Hitler is dead, but the information remains inconclusive. The officer, whose name cannot be used, says there is good evidence that he's dead, but nothing is certain. United States battle casualties in World War II now exceed 1 million, with 6,358 more in the past week. More than 200,000 have been killed in action. A charter to embrace the views of the United Nations wrapped up today in San Francisco after 2 months of meetings. The hope is that this new document will maintain world peace. President Truman, now vacationing in Washington State, will officially close the conference next Tuesday. Secretary of State Edward Stettinius says the nations will sign the charter on Monday. With meat shortages cropping up around the country, President Truman says that he'll deal with the matter. In a meeting with reporters today, he denied reports of removing Interior Secretary Harold Ickes and favors post-war completion of the Alaskan Highway. KUWS News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
The old soup bone is getting pretty bare at home. I can't remember the last time I had a nice, juicy, thick steak or a nice, fat prime rib with some fresh horseradish.
Jack McKenna has a message from our sponsor.
Indeed, Lou, indeed. From Stacks in Superior, right on Tower Avenue for you. They have some great, great sales going on today from the Acme Bra Company. They have what nature has forgotten, we stuff with cotton. Those bras are going for 79 cents a pair. You know what I mean, folks. Rompers, children's knit tempers in all colors and sizes, regular $1.59, just $1.19 during the sale. Slips for ladies. Who heard of a man wearing a slip? Lace-trimmed slips in sizes 34 to 40, regular $1.98, now just $1.49. Millinery clearance, sailors, brims, berets, fine straws and felts, black, navy, brown, and colors, valued by $3.98, but selling for a dollar even. How about that? At Stacks, during their big sale, come on in, folks, and buy something good.
Major Richard Irabong of Poplar has been decorated by King George VI, America's ace of aces who shot down 40 enemy aircraft in the Pacific, was given the Distinguished Air Medal for his defense of Australia. Major Bong's kill came in fighting over Britain's New Guinea and the Philippines. The fate of Twin Port shipyards is uncertain in the post-war. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has new developments.
The high bid of $115,000 for the American shipbuilding yards in Superior has been rejected. American shipbuilding attorney Oscar Johnson would not say why the bid from West End Iron and Metal Company of Duluth was rejected. American shipbuilding has Lake Superior's only dry docks. All the old whale backs were built there. Meanwhile, Butler Shipyard's president, Robert Butler, says the excellent record of his workers makes him want to try all the harder to find a replacement industry for the post-war. He says his engineers are drawing up plans for the Superior Yard. He says labor in Superior has attracted attention across the country with their safe and productive work. Lou?
Well, thanks, Mike. The death of a Superior man who was in the Bataan Death March has been confirmed. Private Harry Haikala died in a prison camp June the 5th, 1942, 2 months after Americans surrendered there. He was 25 years old. The War Department's casualty list released today includes Navy aviator George Charles Blair, son of William Blair of Superior, as wounded in action. Also wounded in the Pacific are Sergeant Lucian Mertz of Superior and Sergeant Walter Richland of Danbury. A Marine Corps medic wounded a year ago during the Japanese attack on Guam has died in an Ashland hospital. 23-year-old Raymond Gervasi died of wounds received in July. Gervasi is also a veteran of Bougainville. He returned to the United States in January. He was awarded a Purple Heart. He was a member of the St. Mary's Church of Odena. He'll be buried Saturday at St. Agnes Cemetery in Ashland. The youngest daughter of Walter Butler Shipyard's president christened the USS Dragonfly as it was launched yesterday in Superior. Miss Catherine Butler and 500 children from St. Joseph's and Superior Children's Home were on hand, as were the three bears, Jack and the Beanstalk, and the gingerbread boy, Jack.
I hope the three bears behaved, and I bet the gingerbread boy was delicious. Thanks, Lou Martin, with the war news. Let's check the forecast for this Thursday evening, June 21st, 1945. Showers and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow, but expect some sunshine in between and a high tomorrow of 84 degrees. And now it's music time. We haven't played this one for a while. Here's the Mary Max and Mersey Dotes on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I know a ditty, nutty as a fruitcake, goofy as a goon,
and silly as a loon. Some call it pretty,
others call it crazy,
but they all sing this tune. Mersey Dotes and Nosey Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey, a kiddly-divey do wouldn't do. If the words sound clear and funny to your ear, a little bit jumbled and jivey, sing Mersey Dotes and Nosey Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey. Oh, Mersey Dotes and Nosey Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey, a kiddly divey do wouldn't do. A kiddly divey do wouldn't do. Dotes and Nosey
Dotes and Little
Lambsy Divey,
a kiddly
divey do
wouldn't you. Mersey
Dotes and Nosey
Dotes and Little
Lambsy Divey,
a kiddly
divey do
wouldn't you.
If the words sound queer funny to your ear, a little bit mumble and tumble and jumble and jivey, sing Mersey Dotes, Nosey Dotes, Little Lambsy Divey.
Dotes and
Nosey,
Lambsy
Divey,
a kiddly divey
do, wouldn't you? A kiddly divey
do, wouldn't you?
A kiddly divey do, wouldn't you? A kiddly divey do, wouldn't you? A kiddly divey do, wouldn't you? A kiddly divey do, wouldn't you?
The Mary Max with Mersey Dotes on station KUWS. You know, folks, Al Trace, who wrote the Mersey Dotes and had an orchestra that played it very often, did several bandstand appearances at the Old Flame. And guess who was the announcer? Lou Martin. Well, Lou, what's up now?
I'm not sure. Some people are reporting a Japanese balloon bomb that's been sighted over Superior.
Ha! Good one.
I'm serious. The phones are going crazy at the radio station. I called the cop shop, and they're getting the same reports. A balloon bomb has been spotted hovering over the city. The same kind of bomb that exploded on the West Coast earlier this month, launched from Japan. If it's true, this is real serious stuff.
Not to be a doubting Thomas, Lou, but tell you what. You make a few calls and get back to me about this, okay, buddy?
Will do. I'll be back.
Meanwhile, let's enjoy this fine number from Russ Morgan and A Pocketful of Dreams on the Martin and McKenna Show. Balloon bomb.
Not the type to care, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams. It's my universe, even with an empty purse, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams. Wouldn't take the wealth on Wall Street for the road where nature trod, and I calculate I'm worth my weight in golden rods. Lucky, lucky me, I can live in luxury, 'cause I've got a pocket full of dreams.
Morgan and a pocket full of dreams on station KUWS. All right, folks, let's get ready to play Stump the Listener.
We might want to postpone that, Jack. What with this balloon bomb crisis brewing over Superior?
I'm not on board with this one. A Jap balloon bomb, come on, over Superior? Jeez. I mean, come on. Who would believe that? No credible person would believe.
All right, people.
You scared me, Colonel. Yeesh.
Listen up. Stay calm and don't touch any strange balloons.
This is Draft Board Chairman Colonel Joe Raffaele.
That's right, and I'm taking charge in this crisis. Everybody. Now, I mean everybody. Pay attention. Remain calm. Do not fear. I think the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. I think a good Republican said that.
President Roosevelt said that in 1933.
The Colonel quoted a Democrat. The Colonel quoted a Democrat.
Well, I'll wash my mouth out with soap later. Thing is, about this balloon bomb thingamabob, keep doing what you're doing before this alert started. Because if you don't, then the Nips will have already won. They want us to spread fear and panic.
All righty, then.
You'd better go ahead, Jack.
But the Colonel isn't finished yet.
All the more reason to go ahead with Stump the Listener. Here's the question. Call in at 1790 if you know the answer.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I said the Colonel isn't finished yet.
What famous composer was born in Leipzig, Germany?
I know that one. I know. Beethoven.
I'll give the listeners one hint. The Colonel's wrong.
You could have given me that hint earlier.
How could he give you the hint, the Colonel's wrong, before you were wrong?
Okay, then, let's go to our first caller. Hello.
Yeah, hey, hello, back at you.
Who's calling, please?
Corbin Colby.
Corbin Colby? What do you do, Corbin Colby?
I'm a carpenter.
Where are you calling from?
You better not say Cloquet.
That's my greatest fear right now.
Yeah, I'm up here in Cloquet. Yeah, hey. We run the Cloquet Carpentry Shop.
Carpenter Corbin Colby with Cloquet Carpenter in Cloquet?
And carpets.
This is going to give me nightmares.
Welcome to my world.
Carpenter Corbin Colby with Cloquet Carpentry and carpets in Cloquet.
It's got quite the ring to it, don't it? That's why I named my boys Clyde and Claude. My wife almost left me over that. I got the answer. Richard Wagner was born in Leipzig, Germany. What did I win?
Carpenter Corbin Colby with Cloquet Carpentry and Carpets in Cloquet. You win a $10 gift certificate for Miller's Women's Clothing at 1227 Tower Avenue in Superior. Something the little woman could use.
Oh, she's not so little, but she's all mine.
Best to your boys, too.
Yeah, hey, they're clever and cautious, those two. Clever Clyde and cautious Claude, I calls them. Bye-bye.
That was fun. Now let's listen to this number from the Duke Ellington Orchestra. And don't get around much anymore on the Martin and McKenna Balloon Bomb Show. Duke Ellington and don't get around much anymore on KUWS.
Now, as I was saying, everybody stay calm. It'd be a good idea to keep those phone lines clear for official business only until this nip balloon bomb emergency is under control. The police, sheriff's department, and the G-men are on the job.
The FBI is on the case?
J. Edgar himself?
There's talk of sending up a plane to blow that balloon right out of the sky. Now, that's what the old colonel would do if he was in charge. Action. Shooting. Blowing stuff up.
I'm afraid we'll have to interrupt once again, Colonel. Community editor Harriet Furry has important news, too.
Look, sister, you're going to have to wait your turn. You and your women's sewing circles are all fine and dandy. But there's nothing as important as a balloon bomb alert.
I have news of returning servicemen, Colonel. Isn't that important?
I stand corrected, ma'am. You give the glad tidings.
Sewing circles. Really? And this whole balloon bomb thing, I think it's just a bunch of to-do about nothing.
I'm with you there, Harriet.
But we do have good news about Upper Wisconsin men coming home. Corporal Frank Capusta will be reunited with his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Capusta of Mellon. He was overseas for 2.5 years, fighting in China and Germany until his discharge on points this month. County Register of Deeds Ralph Nelson released a list of Douglas County men who have been discharged. They include Tech 5 Lewis Pearson of 2611 North 21st Street. He won a good conduct ribbon and has 4 overseas bars. Also of Superior are PFC Roland Lundberg and Private First Class Fred Finney. PFC Lundberg won a Purple Heart and the Philippine Liberation Ribbon with a battle star. Also being discharged are Staff Sergeant Glenn Sandvig, Private Richard Tills, Sergeant Fred Schuster, and Sergeant Ray Somerville, who also was awarded a Purple Heart for fighting in the European, African, and Middle East theaters. And one other fun thing, Lewis and Jack, Major Richard Bong of Poplar and his wife Marjorie Bong were selected as one of the top 10 romances of 1945. Also on that list are actress Jinx Falkenberg and newspaperman Colonel Tex McCary and Humphrey Bogart and Lauren McCall.
Our ace of aces aced out them all by marrying Margie. Great stuff, Harriet. We've got a big hit from the 1945 hit parade with Doris Day and Les Brown's band of renown. Sentimental Journey on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Each dime I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey.
Les Brown and his great band of renown with singing by Doris Day and Sentimental Journey on Station KUWS.
I'm taking over, McCuckle. We've had all kinds of reports in and about that Jap balloon bomb. One person says it's over Tower Avenue, another guy says it's by the Great Northern Roundhouse, another guy saw it by the ore docks.
How many of these so-called balloon bombs are there?
See, that's why you civilians can't be in charge in times like these. Speculation, rumor, innuendo, all can cause civil unrest amongst the populace. There's only one balloon bomb, and it just so happens to be moving.
I need to interrupt here. We have city engineer Leroy Bartlett on the phone. Good evening, sir.
It's Richard Wagner. He was born in 1813 in Leipzig, Germany. What do I win?
I really hate Stump the Listener. Let's go to line two. Good evening, Mr. Bartlett.
Good evening, Lou Martin and the listening public. This is city engineer Leroy Bartlett speaking on the telephone to you people listening to the radio. I've set up survey equipment, and I've been monitoring this said Japanese balloon bomb. It's clear it is moving.
Goodness.
Has it been confirmed that it is a balloon bomb?
Well, our first report was by a Mr. Anthony Godzik, who was working at the Great Northern Roundhouse on Belknap. He's reliable. He's an ex-serviceman.
That's all the confirmation I need. Veterans can spot an ordnance a mile away. We have a real problem, people.
So now, can we panic?
Well, it's believed that the Coast Guard in Cleveland has assigned a specially equipped fighter plane to leave from Upper Michigan to intercept this object.
Our brave flyboys better be careful. The Japs are cunning. They may have it so it blows up if a plane gets near it.
Well, one thing's been bothering me, though. The balloon's floating against the wind. I can't figure that one out.
Diabolical. Absolutely dastardly. That's downright irrehensible. Listen up. It's time to act. Women, children stay inside. In a basement. In an area away from all roofs. And all picnics are canceled tonight, people.
All picnics are canceled?
Everybody, relax. Everything's okay.
Heavens, it's Professor Schreiber from the Teachers College. Here, have a seat and catch your breath.
Thanks.
Great. That's all we need is a long hair to get involved in a military situation.
We should listen to Professor Schreiber. He's an astronomy professor.
I don't want anybody asking me what my sign is or any of that phony baloney.
Oh, it's astronomy, not astrology.
There is no enemy balloon bomb. They may have launched those things from Japan or from submarines on the Pacific, but this isn't one of those things. That's why Mr. Bartlett couldn't figure out why it was floating against the wind.
That's a head-scratcher.
Thanks, Professor, but this is no time for speculation and theorizing. It's time for action. We've got to figure out a way to shoot that thing down. Hopefully, it's not over a populated area to minimize civilian casualties.
Good luck with that, Colonel. You see, that balloon is 30 million miles away.
That's farther than Japan.
I think we're ready to wrap up right now.
I don't get it.
That balloon bomb is Venus, the planet Venus. It moves in an orbit between Mercury and Earth. Venus is now traveling ahead of the Sun. It last crossed the Sun in 1882 and won't do that again until 2004 and 2012.
I knew it.
You did not know it. Thank you, Professor E.H. Schreiber, Professor of Astronomy at Superior Teachers College.
Glad to help. I guess this means people can leave their basements now, Colonel. Not bad for a long hair, eh?
Yeah, sorry about the crack.
That's it, folks. Remember, kids, to tune in afternoons for Treasury Parade, House of Mystery, Hop Harrigan, Terry and the Pirates, Dick Tracy, and Tom Mix. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, that is. And the skies stay clear of weird stuff. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
So, Professor, do you think there's any Martians? You know, those canals and all that stuff?
Extraterrestrials? It's possible somewhere
no,
out there...
No, not extraterritory. You know what I mean. Moony men, you know. Little green guys.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Ray Paulson, Brian Matuzak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.